irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
Listening to Sam in the Morning with Jen, right here on LA Talk Radio.
Good morning, everybody. Welcome to the show. Today's Tuesday, March 31st.
The last day of March.
It is, indeed. Thanks for clarifying that for us, Jen.
No problem.
I know my math is not very good in the morning, so I truly appreciate that.
Good. I'm glad the first quarter is over.
Yes, it is. Wow.
Q1.
Yeah.
Gone. The
Q1 gone. Prepare for your taxes, April 15th.
Yep.
Not you. You're done with them.
Yeah.
You're looking forward to next April 15th.
Basically.
Probably. Yeah. Yeah, and tomorrow's April Fool's Day.
It is. No jokes, please.
Yeah. Do you ever pull jokes on people on that day?
No, not really a prankster kind of person.
Right, yeah. It's not something cool, I don't think. Sometimes people pull all kinds of like serious stuff on other people, you know.
Yeah,
and it's crazy, you know.
I don't like it.
Drive somebody's expectations up and stuff.
I don't like being scared of anything. So
I know,
not for me,
not for you.
Yeah.
Well, this is scary. Talking about scared, we're gonna have a guest that's an extreme sports person, and I don't know exactly how he defines himself. Like let's see. A world record holder in three extreme sports, in rock climbing, winged suit, flying, and slacklining. I don't know what that is. We'll have to find out.
Yeah.
And he's got a movie out. So that sounds interesting to me. I'm looking forward to that. I guess the movie's being released today, the 31st.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah, I know. And Jen and I took a look at the clips, and I just don't know how he does the things that he does, but we'll talk to him about it.
No, I'm scared for him.
Yeah.
I'm pretty much scared of everything. April Fool's Day, all adventure sports, you know. So.
Except for flying. You're not afraid of flying.
No, I'm not.
Yeah. See, you're lucky that way.
Thank you.
Yeah, I guess. A full show today, I guess. We're going to talk a little about Tinder and the adventures with Tinder. Not that great adventures, but I need to learn some etiquette from you and pick up some advice.
Oh, wow. Do tell me.
Okay. So, I wanted to bring up the fact that this morning I actually made a cappuccino for my maid, believe it or not.
That was nice of you.
I know. And the thing is this. Look, I feel if you have a maid, you should give them straight access to your refrigerator. I mean, they're there, right?
Yes.
Okay, so they're working, but they're around your food all day. They work hard. Maybe they don't bring their own lunch. Let them help themselves, right?
Sure.
So my ex was always opposed to that because she says, you know, I guess like women that have used these maids and stuff are saying that when you get them used to it, then they expect it and all that stuff. But my question is, so what? You know, I mean, the thing is this, how much can they eat? You know, so it's not about the money. It's not about the food. It's about the principle. So why be an asshole?
Yeah, I mean, I guess when you go to an office, let's say, and that's your job, there's right. usually like stuff in the fridge that's stocked for the employees.
That's
so
true.
If you have, even if it's somebody that's like a service provider, it's nice of you to offer it.
Right.
So, I mean, they don't have to take it and they don't have to sit and make themselves like a four-course meal, but at least you're treating them like a human and you're appreciating their service.
Exactly. You know, and that's what I think, you know, and stop being like so cold and stuff.
I offered to make my housekeeper coffee the other day.
Yeah?
Yeah. She's like, no, just water. I was like, okay.
Yeah. No, because I was making my coffee this morning and I was thinking, you know, because I always want to tell her, you know, eat. I mean, I do. I tell her, go ahead, you know, help yourself.
Yeah.
In the broken Spanish that I speak. But but I don't think she ever takes anything, you know. So I figured, you know, maybe she's shy. And I was making my coffee and it smells so good. I thought, why not offer her?
That's very nice.
So she jumped at the opportunity. She got herself a nice cappuccino.
She probably cleaned better after that.
Probably, yeah.
And quicker.
Yeah, that's true, huh?
Yeah.
A shot of adrenaline and caffeine at the same time.
Yes. I will say, though, that the theory of, like, sort of lazy housekeepers
right.
makes sense. But it does with any employee of any kind.
I suppose.
Because people do get complacent, or they get used to doing something a certain way, or getting away with doing it like not as great as they
That's true. Used to. And they get used to it. Yeah.
Right. So I think it just sort of happens in any area.
Yeah.
But in housekeeping, you just notice it more because it's like it's messier.
Right. Well, that's true. Yeah. But I don't, I mean, she cleans pretty good, you know. I don't see much of what she does because she's there now, you know. But
right.
She starts before I do. And what I don't understand is, like, you know, they don't think, you know. That's one thing they don't do. They work. They're hard workers and everything. They don't think much. And, like, for example, you see me taking a shower, right? So, you know, I'm going to go back to my bedroom and get dressed. Why would you do my bathroom at the same time when you know I'm going to be there, right?
Well, I don't know about your housekeeper, but my housekeeper, I have two sets because just in case one's busy,
uh-huh.
I have a backup housekeeper. So both of them, though, are very good about figuring that out. So,
really?
Like, they'll ask me where to start. They'll see what I'm doing. Like, if I'm making breakfast, they'll go in the bathroom since I'm in the kitchen.
Okay.
And they move around me. They, like, they'll do everything for me. They're so great. They apologize if, like, something is not perfect. Like, one of them forgot to do one of my sheets. She did all of the sheets except the fitted sheet.
Uh-huh.
And she's like, I don't know what I was thinking. I'm so sorry. Uh-huh. I'll do it myself. Please forgive me. I was like, no, it's fine. Just make it look clean.
Yeah. Well, I think my maid figured I wouldn't understand all that if she said it. You know?
Well, mine said it sort of in, you know, a version of English, but she was just so sweet, and like they just are very good at what they do.
Yeah,
mine.
No, definitely.
So if you need a new housekeeper, I can recommend someone. But
yeah, no, I'm not gonna let her go. She's really sweet, you know.
Yeah.
And so if anybody's interested in a maid, give me a call or send me an email, because she's looking for more work. You know, because I mean she. I used to pay her for like 6 hours, but she'd only be there for four.
What's she doing for 4 hours?
No, you mean for 2 hours? No. Oh, no. I expected her to... I thought it would take her 6 hours.
Oh.
That was the agreement, right? So we agreed on paying her a certain amount. And then I realized that she finishes in 4 hours. You know, she doesn't need the six.
Yikes. My housekeeper is done in like two.
Really?
Yeah. Well, I probably have a smaller place than you.
Yeah, I have like a two-bedroom and the patio and all that. So, but... And she does my laundry and stuff too. Although yours does too, right?
Yeah.
So... So she needs more time. But I told her, I said, you know, I'm paying you like, you know, more than you're working and stuff. So I told her, I said, I'll give you a little more and come every week instead of every 2 weeks. So now get every week. My laundry's folded. Everything's
nice.
That's
great.
So I'm grateful to that. You know, that's one thing I don't enjoy doing is laundry and cleaning the house.
Yeah.
Although I envy some people that I know, some women actually enjoy cleaning the house, you know.
Yes, or prefer the way they do it.
Yeah, I know. Some people find, you know, I mean, it depends. You know, I'm a lazy person. So, yeah. So how are you doing? Everything good?
Everything's good.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Do you still do the, I forgot to ask you, do you still do the AfterBuzz TV thing?
Yeah. So we're actually about to start a couple of new shows in like sometime in spring, May, I guess, is when it all starts. We have like four different shows. Me and Lauren, because we only work together.
Right. Oh, wow. I didn't realize that.
Well, we choose to do it that way. Yeah. We'll propose, like, we want to cover the following shows and we want to do them together.
Right.
We'll have a third host, but we want to pick that person. We're very, like...
Yeah.
That's cool. It's not a democracy with us, apparently.
Yeah. Hold on a second. Hold that thought, because our guest is calling.
Oh, great.
A few minutes early, but that's fine. Good morning. You're on the air. Is this Dean?
This is Dean Potter. How's it going?
Good. Dean
Hi.
Potter, welcome to the show, sir.
Great. Yeah, I'm here with Whisper Dog.
Whisper Dog?
That's, as well.
That's his name? Your dog's name is Whisper Dog?
Whisper. Her name's Whisper, yeah.
Oh, Whisper.
She's a girl.
Oh, it is a girl. Awesome.
Yeah.
All right. Well, we've been watching the videos this morning, and we were just like breathless. You know, we couldn't believe the stuff that you do. And we'll get to that in just a second. Where are you calling us from this morning?
Calling you from home, Yosemite, California.
Yosemite, California. There's actually people living in Yosemite, not in the park, right?
No, inside the park. Yeah, there's developments inside the park, and I've been living here for 20 years.
Oh,
wow! You see, some things you don't know.
No,
that's amazing. So, how did you pick that place? Is that because there's a lot of nature and outdoors?
Well, I'm a rock climber, and so I, you know, in Yosemite is the best rock climbing place on earth. And then when I came here, back in 1993, I was just captured by the amazing beauty and the huge walls here, and it allowed me to push my arts of climbing, line walking, and wingsuit flying to, you know, the next levels.
Wow. I mean, you know, the stuff that you do is amazing, and lets people know about this. I guess you're releasing a movie today, right?
Yeah, our film about Whisper becoming the first wingsuit-based jumping dog is being released today on Vimeo On Demand.
Wow. And that's amazing. You know, we look at the video, and the dog looks like she looks just so cute in the backpack that
she's
have.
She's just like
her.
Hanging out with you, like, right, while flying.
Yeah.
And yeah, I mean, she loves it. And, I mean, sometimes when we're not flying and getting ready to fly, she falls asleep and I hear her snoring back there. And then, but then for sure, when we're flying through the air at 120 miles an hour, she's fully alert.
Wow, wow. And you actually get her to climb rocks with you as well, right?
Yeah, she's been all over the world climbing. Here in the national park, we've climbed El Cap and Half Dome together, the biggest formations in the park, and then we've been over to the Alps and climbed the Eiger, the Jungfrau, and the Monk, big huge alpine walls and mountains there. She just likes to come along and do what I do, and then she's really willing, and then she gets the best exercise ever.
Yeah. Yeah. So now, I mean, when you first started this is obviously scary for most people. Didn't you worry that she was going to, like, freak out and stuff? Or maybe in the beginning she did? Or was it always...
No, I mean, everybody thinks that Whisper is just like this bystander that doesn't have her own thoughts. But if Whisper doesn't want to do something, she doesn't do it. And so there are certain things that we found that Whisper doesn't like. And if she doesn't like something, she runs away and cowers under the car or under the bed and hides. So she doesn't like helicopters,
yeah.
I think, because they're so noisy. And so we took her on a helicopter in the Swiss Alps during the filming of When Dogs Fly. And we only did it once because she pooped on the helicopter. and then she would never go near the helicopter again. We would go to the helipad. And Whisper would hide in the car, and you couldn't make her come out of the car.
Wow.
She hates the vacuum cleaner. She hates it when I play the didgeridoo. But when I grab that backpack of Whispers and I say, "Hey, let's go base jumping," she comes, you know, right up to me.
Wow.
And then when I put on my wingsuit, she's nestled closely, wanting to come.
Wow, wow, that's amazing. Now, so you do, I mean, the most amazing thing you do, obviously, is the wingsuit and the flying. I mean, you call it flying as though you're flying a plane. When did you start this?
Yeah, I started wingsuit flying 12 years ago, and it really is human flight. So it's even beyond flying an airplane. You fly your body,
right?
And then the first form you learn is just to fly your normally clothed body, and it's hard for people to believe, but I can fly, and anybody can fly if they practice the shape. Just with like a flannel shirt and a pair of jeans on, I can fly more forward than down when I jump out off of a cliff or out of an airplane. And I just shape my body into a bird's wing shape with my hands at my side and cupping my chest. And then my body flies at better than a 45-degree angle. So for each foot I drop, I go forward more than a foot. So humans really can fly.
Wow.
And so can dogs.
Yeah, that's amazing. Now, I know the first time I saw that was, I think, in that James Bond movie and stuff. How did you learn about wingsuit?
I started off, and I really am a rock climber. I've been rock climbing for 30 years. And then I climb without ropes often. And so I'd be climbing on these biggest walls, and I'd see people flying over the top of me, and then I thought, wow, you know, if that was me, I'd be dead. Like, because to a ropeless rock climber, that means that means you're dead if you enter the air like that.
Right.
So I got intrigued about the idea of climbing with a parachute on my back, and then I invented that style of climbing back in 2008, and pioneered a new way to climb that I called free base. Because of free climbing and base jumping, and I'm able to climb up walls purely protected with a parachute. And then through that idea, I brought it into the big mountains and climbed big mountains and found a way where instead of taking a day to descend off these big mountains, it's only a few minutes, and that brings a lot of safety into the equation. And then came the wingsuit, which is really the ultimate in human body flight.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, I mean, when you do this for the first time, you know, I'm even wondering about the people that invented this and tested this. You know, you don't know what the outcome is going to be. It's pretty frightening.
Were you ever scared when you started?
Oh, I'm scared every time. But there is a method of doing it safely. I've been practicing the world's most dangerous arts for the past 30 years, and I've never had a serious injury. So that's my first focus, is don't get hurt, and figure out a way to learn slowly. And so with wingsuit flying and human body flying, and I interchange those words, you learn out of an airplane first. So you go skydiving, and skydiving is really one of the original extreme sports. And you jump out of airplanes with instructors, and these instructors signal you in the air, and they hold on to you and until you can fly your body. And you take this seven jump course called AFF, Advanced Free Fall course. And not only do you have instructors flying next to you, you've got two parachutes on your back. So if one fails, you have a reserve. And then you also have this computer inside the parachute container that if you do nothing and are about to hit the ground, it opens the parachute for you. So skydiving nowadays is almost fail-safe.
Wow. Yep. Yeah, and I always said, you know, I'd be scared to death to jump off a plane, but now you're saying that it's not as bad as it would be. And I can see, you know, with the technology and everything, how they would improve the safety on these things.
Yeah, the computer, which is called the Cypress, it will save you even if you pass out or panic and do nothing but tumble through the air. At 750 feet above the ground, it opens the parachute for you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, that's interesting. So now, if people want to see, the trailer is on YouTube.
It's on Vimeo On Demand.
Oh, okay, because I see a trailer on
YouTube.
Oh,
yeah, yeah. No, the trailer is on YouTube. Yes, for sure.
Right.
Yep.
Yeah, but it is on Vimeo, and it debuts tonight. And, I mean, you guys are not going to believe some of the things here. I mean, you suspend the dog over a,
one of the biggest walls in the world, Tiger North Face.
Yeah, wow. I mean, that's some drop there, man, let me tell you.
Yep.
But nevertheless, the dog goes along.
Yeah, she loves to go along, and it's really, really interesting. I grew up watching cartoons, and I watched this cartoon called Hong Kong Phooey from the 1970s.
Uh-huh.
It shows how, you know, dated I am. And, you know, as a boy, all these things that I'm doing now seem like fantasy. Only the cartoons and superheroes could do it.
Right.
But now we're doing it, and Whisper really is a real live superhero dog.
Yeah, wow, that's amazing. Now, I wanted to ask you, when you fly, do you know where you're going to end up? I mean, do you have somebody picking you up afterwards? And
yeah, absolutely. With the wingsuit, I mean, we fly it, you know, up to, you know, 150 miles an hour, but we know exactly to the centimeter, to the inch of where we're flying. So if we're flying with our friends, you can fly right up to your friend and get as, you know, as close as you want. You can fly next to the tree and skim it, you know, within inches. And then you can fly miles to a precise landing zone. And so the way to survive and the way to wingsuit properly is to know the weather, know the wind, know your capabilities, your glide angle, and be skilled enough to fly the exact flight pattern that you want to get to the location you want to, where your friends are down below, or to where there's a trailhead where you'll safely be able to walk back to, you know, your house or your car or wherever you're staying.
Right. Wow. I mean, that, you know, it's amazing that you say you never had any injury, and we wish you to stay healthy and all that, but this is pretty scary stuff. Most people don't do that. And so I think, you know, you've developed sort of a celebrity as far as doing these things, you know, because not many people do. Right?
Yeah, you know, I have, you know, everything, you know, about being human, you know, has had this always doing new things. And so, you know, back when humans were really primitive, you know, writing with a pencil was revolutionary, or using fire. Nowadays, we're so advanced that I find myself even going back the opposite direction, and I've gained, you know, I just do my art, and whatever people think is what they think, but I kind of go back to this more primitive way of being, and I, you know, of climbing rocks without protection, or I tightrope walk across a very simple line, or I fly through the air, you know, just wearing, you know, jeans and a flannel shirt often, and so through this very primitive nature powered you know, human driven pursuits, where I really don't need anything but like nature and my body, I'm able to do these things that were once thought fantasy.
Yeah, and it's amazing you describe it as art, you know, and it's a way for you, I suppose, to express yourself, you know, and show the risks you're willing to take and so forth. Do you find that this risk taken has helped you in life too?
Yeah, I think everybody, you know, we all take risks. And, you know, the biggest risk, I think, is trying to what it takes to have a happy life. And so, you know, my risks, it's really easy to see. Oh, if I mess up wingsuiting, I'm going to die. But other, you know, the real risks in life are, hey, if I mess up this decision in life, I'm going to have not a happy life.
Right.
And so I've learned through risk-taking about being very calculated in the things I do, thinking carefully about the decisions in my life, and then when I make the decision, I go for it with everything that I have to make the outcome as good as possible. And so what I've learned in risk has really helped me out in the rest of life. And for sure, I make mistakes all the time, but at least when I go for it, I go for it with everything I have.
Yeah, obviously. So the movie is When Dogs Fly. It premieres tonight on Vimeo, you said.
And yeah, it's premiering right now. It's Whisper's fifth birthday, and it started. It's available to stream or buy on Vimeo On Demand, and it just started, this morning, and people should check it out. It's unlike anything they've ever seen.
Yes, I have to admit, I saw the trailer, and it is unbelievable.
Yeah.
It's breathtaking, you know. We were already discussing this before we came on the air even, because we were so blown away by this. We're talking to Dean Potter, an extreme sports aficionado, I guess, athlete, however you want to describe it, and you've done just about anything extreme, huh? I see paragliding and all that stuff. Obviously, you jumped off planes as well, but the rock climbing really is the scariest part. Is that how you got started? It seems like that's your sort of like favorite thing to do.
Yeah, well, when I was a boy, around 12 or 13, we lived near this cliff in New Hampshire, and my parents told me that I was forbidden to go to the cliff. And being a rebellious, you know, punk, you know, I was like, I'm going to the cliff. And then I got I I went to the cliff, and I saw a piece of metal in the wall, way above, and I didn't know what that was because I never really heard of rock climbing. And so I had my Converse All-Star, like old those canvas basketball shoes.
Right.
People still wear them nowadays. And then, and nothing, just my body. And I climbed up, about 50 feet to that piece of metal. And I was like, oh, it's a spike in the wall. Now I know it's called a piton. Mm-hmm. And then I saw another one way up further. And I just climbed all by myself with no protection to the next one and the next one.
Wow.
And then during that time, all the other thoughts and worries and everything else were insignificant, and I didn't think about them. And I just focused on what I was doing. And up until that point in my life, I had been really scattered in my mind, and climbing helped me focus. Risk and danger helped me focus. And so I found myself going back to the cliff, always climbing ropeless, free solo, often living up on this cliff. Sleeping up there, taking sun naps on little ledges and stuff.
Yeah.
And it really helped me mature, and it really it established this way of being for me where being in exposed, beautiful places allowed me to push myself and focus better and enjoy myself more than I ever had in life. And so it was a pretty easy decision for me to follow that.
Yeah. I mean, I would imagine, I'm just trying to put myself in your shoes, and I'm thinking, if I were able to take risks like that, I would be so successful in life, period. I mean, it's just, I think it's a good spiritual thing for you to go through, because you figure, if I can overcome this fear, I can do anything.
Well, I think that's my major philosophy. Whether, whatever you're doing, from walking the dog to cruising to the coffee shop to climbing mountains, I think a simple philosophy is to go towards your fears, and you'll learn a lot about yourself. And it doesn't matter what those fears are, go towards them, explore them, and even if you don't get all the way there, you'll learn a lot.
Yeah, and that's a great lesson, I think. Everybody check out Dean Potter. The movie is When Dogs Fly. You can catch it on Vimeo. There's a trailer on YouTube you guys can check out. And I think once you see the trailer, you'll definitely want to see the movie. It's titled World's First Wingsuit Base Jumping Dog. And I think maybe if you just put in Dean Potter in YouTube, you'd probably find that as well. Dean, thank you so much. Do you have a website too where you document all this, or is it just?
Yeah, I do. It's deanspotter.com. So deanspotter.com. But the thing I do the most is I Instagram the most, and you can find me on Instagram at Dean Potter.
Sounds good. Dean, all the best to you. We're definitely going to check out the film. I mean, it's just amazing and breathtaking to me. I mean, if only for the views and everything, So it's amazing. And there's filming of you in the air and everything. I would imagine you were with other people that were flying at the same time.
Absolutely. And my friends are filming me, just like a few feet away from me in many of those shots as Whisper and I fly through the air on the Swiss Alps.
Yeah, and some close-ups and everything. I think you guys are just going to get a kick out of the dog just sitting there and taking it in, taking it all in.
All right, and I think one thing we're for is taking your dog with you, and that's a big thing, I think, is to, as much as possible, never leave the dog behind.
There you go. Dean, thank you so much for joining us this morning. You're fascinating. We wish you a lot of success in the future as well. And When Dogs Fly, check it out, released today. Thanks again, Dean, and all the best to you.
Thanks, you guys, too. Really appreciate it.
Sure. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Wow. What an inspiring person,
Definitely.
I got to tell you, man, I have to admire this, and I meant it when I said, if I could face my fears the way that he does, I could do anything I wanted,
Like
fly on a plane. But it's just amazing. And the dog is just so cute in the backpack and everything. Then they're suspending him in midair. I mean, you know, this just like drop.
Yeah, it's pretty crazy because, I mean, the dog is doing things that even people wouldn't do.
I know. It's just so cute. I love to see animals like being just put in situations and stuff, and they just go along with it.
Yeah. I'm looking at the pictures on Instagram that he was talking about, and Whisper's so cute.
Yeah, I know. Wow.
So cute.
Pretty amazing. Yeah, everybody. So go out. You don't need to rock climb to take risks and get the things you want in life, you know. But it's amazing how your childhood shapes you. For the rest of your life, you know. His story was interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And the fact that he watched cartoons.
I know.
It's true. And you always saw, like, not the Tasmanian devil, but the something, one of the WB characters that would, like, slam into rocks and things like that. And it was always, like, hitting himself. He would, like, fly and then, like, hit himself on something.
Yeah. That's Sylvester, the cat chasing the Roadrunner, right?
I think
so. Something like that.
Yeah.
No, wait a minute. It's not the cat. It's the Wile E. Coyote.
Yeah.
That chases him. Yeah.
Yes,
okay.
That's what it is.
How did I get Sylvester? Well, Sylvester keeps bumping into things all the time, too.
Yeah.
That cat.
Whisper's so cute.
I know. I wish we could meet them in person.
I just really want to meet Whisper.
Yeah. Can you imagine living in Yosemite, how beautiful that is?
That's the place to be if that's what he does.
Yeah. It's a national park. It's beautiful.
What a lovely life. I mean,
yeah. I wonder if he's able to connect with anyone romantically, though, because...
Yes, he has a girlfriend.
Oh, he does?
Yes, I see it on his Instagram.
Awesome. So she's probably into that, too.
It seems that way.
Yeah, you can't imagine that somebody would be with someone who's risking his life every day.
Yeah, no, you probably have to also see it the same way, so it's not, like, terrifying to you.
Yeah. Which brings me to what I wanted to talk about Tinder.
Oh, yes.
And... I mean, we were still talking about the maids, I think, or something, right?
Yes.
Or did we change topic?
No, we were talking about that.
Okay. So, now look at this. So, I'm in contact with about 5 women on Tinder right now, which is amazing.
Hopefully, they're not listening to this radio show.
That's okay. Let them, because I'm not going out with any of them. I mean, I'm just at a point where it just matched and a couple of texts and stuff, you know. Mm-hmm. So I don't know. I've yet to talk to any of them by phone. But this, you know, I mean, because this just happened the past few days that I got lucky and met several very cool women. So one of them. I go on her profile, and what you see is motorcycles and more motorcycles and more motorcycles. And she's pretty, and she seems nice. She's into ninja, too. I see she has, like, swords and stuff and dressed like a ninja.
Oh, interesting.
But very interesting, right? But my question is, you know, she's obviously into motorcycles and stuff. I would think that it probably would be difficult for someone like me to connect with her because I don't ride and I don't even want to get on one.
Right.
Right? You think that's going to create a problem?
Maybe, or maybe opposites attract because she would have a different interest and bring something new into your life.
Right.
Or she has her own life and she can do that on her time. And, you know, I don't know that.
Yeah,
it's probably necessary for you to also have to do it.
Yeah. Well, she, you know, profile says, you know, pictures speak. A picture speaks at a thousand words or whatever. She meant like, okay. But, so, and she's showing the pictures of the motorcycles and stuff. But, and I also imagine, you know, someone like this, you know, with a cool sports motorcycle and stuff, it would be their life, pretty much. You know,
I don't know. I mean, maybe.
Yeah, I mean, many people with motorcycles, it defines them, you know.
Uh-huh.
Not that it's a bad thing. I'm just saying that they're really into it.
Yeah.
So I just don't know. I mean, I figured let's talk and see what's going on.
Yeah, but, you might as well.
Yeah, you know, but if she's too much into it, I can't see how we're going to have anything in common because I'm not getting on a motorcycle.
No, I mean, and then you'll discover that, I think. But I think it's worth giving it a shot.
It is, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, on top of my list is actually also another woman, and she seems cool. The funny thing is she's got a very cool name, very unique. So with a name like this, people are going to find you right away, you know?
Yeah.
So, because I don't need your last name. I just put in the first name. Bam, I found her on Facebook. So, so it just, I mean, she seemed pretty cool, you know?
And, what was cool about her?
She's pretty.
Okay.
Okay, let me see. Let me look on her profile, because there was something in the profile as well that was pretty cool. Oh, well, what was pretty cool is she was just like friendly, texting back and forth and stuff, you know? So she says she's ultra feminine and stuff like that. And that's a chocolate connoisseur, although a dark chocolate connoisseur. She is a lover of masculine men and all things French. I'm neither one of those, but maybe it's not a requirement. So so the thing is, I the reason I brought this up is because I told her I'd call her, and she said, yeah, like on Sunday, she said, call me tomorrow. And I ended up getting home only at 10:30, so it was too late to call, right?
Yeah.
So I just texted her, and I said, you know, I'm sorry I got home late. It's too late. Can we talk tomorrow? And I didn't hear anything back. And I thought, damn, you know, I blew this. And so that's what I was going to talk to you about this morning, is the ease with which people go through things. You know, it's like, give me a break, you know. So I did call at the right time, but at least I'm texting you and telling you I'll call it another time.
Well, I still think that you could call her anyway today and just give it a shot.
Yeah, well, the good stuff is she answered my text this morning.
Oh, she did?
Yeah.
Well, then.
So right before the show started. So,
oh, what'd she say?
She said, yeah, tonight is fine.
Oh, great. Well,
yeah, you
fine.
See, there you go. So I almost screwed that one up. But what I wanted to ask you is, you know, I mean, yeah, so people do these things. You know, sometimes you'll say, I'm going to call, and you can't call or whatever, and people will move on or something, like happened to me with the other woman before.
Yeah.
And my question is, you know, are people, like, not forgiving enough to understand that, okay, something must have come up, you know, let's, you know, it's not, I mean, I don't know him yet, so I can't really hold him, like, you know, I can't just determine this is his personality or that's his character or something, you know.
I mean, people, they don't have to think too much even into it because there's somebody to move on to.
Exactly, right?
Which I think is a blessing and a curse. While there are so many fish in the sea, you don't really pay attention to anyone for too long, or you don't give them a normal consideration you would if you had just met them in person, let's say, and you were excited about one particular person.
Right.
There's just so many people, you're inundated by options.
Right. Yeah, yeah. You know, but it, but I figured, you know, I mean, there's a couple of, you know, I mean, there was another one that I met that we had quite a bit in common, but, and we texted a couple times on Tinder, and then she stopped. So I don't know, should I try it again maybe one time to follow up and see? I'm not going to look ridiculous if I try to reignite the conversation.
No, not at all. I have people that do that with me all the time because I literally forget to log back into an app.
Right.
And so I, like, somebody wrote, like, I'm trying to resurrect our conversation. I'm like, sorry. But then also I'm talking to, like, when I finally do respond or, like, go back into the app, I see, like, 10 people I need to respond to. I'm, like, overwhelmed.
I know. It's
so
too much.
It is too much. And I feel like they should only let you have a certain amount of matches at a time. And if you're not speaking to, like, however many of them, those should disappear.
Yeah.
I feel like on JSwipe or one of those other apps, they have, like, a time limit. So if you haven't communicated with somebody within a week, they remove that match.
Really?
Yeah, because it's like, why collect matches?
Right. Wow. People think about all these things with the apps. It's,
well, they should.
Amazing.
Yeah, that's their job. If you create an app, you should have the solutions for that app.
You should think about it.
Yeah, of course.
Wow.
Because if I'm able to say that, they should be a step ahead.
Yeah. No, that's true. That's true. So I like it. You know, I started paying attention to the common friends like you told me to.
Yeah.
And I realize it doesn't really matter. I mean, a lot of these people, I don't even know them, you know.
Yeah.
I've got 4,000 friends, you know, so-called friends. But a lot of them I don't even know, so it doesn't really make a difference to me. And besides, I guess these are women. You're not as suspicious of them as some shady men would be, right?
Right, exactly. Yeah. You're safer than they are.
Yeah, exactly. You're in sort of like a precarious situation where you have to where you could end up with a serial killer or something.
Right.
You know.
I mean, just for me, with the having a mutual friend, it kind of is like when you meet somebody in college.
Right.
They can't be like that crazy because they go to the same college as you. You right. must know somebody in common. They're pretty close by if you think like geographically. So right. I just think when you meet a complete stranger, there's just so many other things that could come up.
Right. Except, I mean, you go on the phone and you can figure it out pretty quickly.
Not everybody's such a good judge of character.
Yeah. Well, you are, no?
I would like to be, but then there's a million sociopaths out there, so who knows?
I know, and they lead you on and everything.
Yeah. So, I mean, I just like a common person because it also gives you something in common to talk about, like, how did you know that person? How, like, any, you know, then you could all hang out if you are friends with that person for real. And,
right.
you know, I just think it makes it a little more familiar.
Yeah. I don't know. I don't know that I have any more time for additional apps. Tinder takes up some time.
Yes.
You know, but that's the thing. I mean, I don't really pay attention to... I mean, I look for conversations if I'm carrying one. But as far as swiping and stuff, I only do it when I have time, you know.
Yeah.
But the funny thing is sometimes you'll run into a thing where, like yesterday it said, there are no more people in your area... I guess that you haven't seen yet.
Yeah.
You know? So I guess they don't want to show it to you twice or something.
No, you'll only see somebody once.
Right.
And if you get rid of them, you get rid of them.
Right. Wow. Yeah, and then you don't have any left. You know, depends where you are, of course.
Yeah.
It has to do with the geographical area.
Right. Like, if you put, like, the range is 10 miles and you run out of people, it's because you've looked at everybody within a 10-mile radius. But if you put 50 miles, then there's more people.
Oh, see, I didn't even realize there was an option for that.
Yes.
There you go.
Preferences.
Time to go back to the to the app. Yeah, I went into preferences. I guess, look, I just don't pay attention to everything because there's so much going on through my mind every day. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I just absorb so much. And, of course, my memory is shot from all this pot and everything. And I'm getting older, so they say memory goes as well. So I'm in a pretty shitty situation, and I have to make do with that, you know.
Okay.
So I've tried to control everything, and I'm not able to pay attention to every little detail. And sometimes it gets in the way, but, you know, what can you do? That's what I have to work with.
Well, if you ran out of people, at least you've got a couple to talk to, so maybe just talk to them.
Yeah.
Instead of continuing to swipe.
Yeah. Did you see, I'm sure you did, Caitlin's pictures from Mexico?
Uh-huh.
Wow, those are amazing, huh?
Yeah.
She's sure having a good time, let me tell you.
Yep, she's back. She got back Sunday night.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
Where in Mexico did she go? Like to a tourist place?
One of the resorts.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. El Dorado Resorts, I think that's what it's called.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But you don't know what
town what city? City maybe town. Playa del Carmen? I don't know.
Yeah, never heard of that one.
Playa del Carmen?
No, never heard of that one.
Really?
No.
Oh, yeah, that's a really popular
really?
Area.
Is that like what, like Baja California? Like on
no,
our side?
You fly into Cancun, I think, and then you drive like an hour.
Okay, so it's on the other side.
Yeah.
I see. Yeah.
Very nice.
I could use a vacation, man.
Yes, you've been saying that.
I know.
You should go.
I know. A lot of things I say over and over, but I must feel strongly about them.
Well, you should do all the things you want to do then.
Yeah, exactly. Well, I should be able to. It doesn't always work that way. At least maybe not according to my timing and my desires, but we'll make arrangements.
Yes.
Yeah. Because, I mean, a person needs to get away. Don't
Absolutely.
You think? Do you take a vacation every year?
No. I'll take like a couple little trips.
Right.
Like a two-day thing or a five-day thing. It just sort of depends also like who I'm going with or what works out with everybody's schedules.
Right. Well, a two-day thing is different from a five-day thing.
Right.
You'd go different places.
Well, last year I went to like Lake Arrowhead for a week and I forget where else. I've gone to like Palm Springs a couple times. And
right.
So it just sort of depends how much time too I have.
Yeah.
You know,
I know.
This year I have all these weddings to go to, so those are probably going to take up all my time.
And money too, huh? For all the gifts and stuff.
Their gift is my presence at their wedding.
Yeah. So, okay.
Yeah. Thank you for having a destination wedding. You know who you are.
Oh, they have a destination wedding. So, yeah, you have to spend money to
I have
get
to go
there.
To Maine and North Carolina.
So you have to
I have to take two planes to each wedding.
Wow. Well, yeah, they better appreciate that then.
But they do. They definitely do.
Yeah, they don't need the gift.
And they're all family weddings, so they're like offering to pay even for me to come. So
wow, yeah. There you go. You see, that's a nice family.
Well, I'm a good time at a wedding.
So yeah,
they want me there.
Yeah, I guess, huh?
Yeah.
We have to have Jen here if we want to have fun.
It's true. Yeah. They know. But yeah, no, I'm trying to plan a couple of trips with the friends and, you know, go up north in California to wine country and also to Vegas for a weekend. And we'll see.
Yeah.
Got something.
You like Vegas, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
If done well. I mean, I'm also older now than when I went when I was like younger.
Right.
So I do different things when I go.
Okay. But you still do the pool parties and everything, right?
Yeah. I mean, I won't be as crazy. Like, our goal is probably to, like, do a healthy amount of partying and relaxing. Because, okay, like, you can go to the pool, you can go to the spa, you can shop, you can lay around in your hotel room if you really wanted to.
Yeah.
You can eat good food, you can go to a show.
Right.
So,
yeah. You can do a lot of things in Vegas, for sure. I just don't like it anymore. I lived there twice, you know, and it was different times. But now when I go there, I feel I don't have anything to do because I don't really gamble, you know. So, and I'm not, I mean, I'd like to go to the pool parties, but I'd probably be out of place there. So, so that's that. Finally, a couple of things. Well, I don't really care about what's going on in the news. Oh, just this mom, I guess, apologized for her daughters on Facebook when she found out that they were rude and obnoxious during a movie. So I guess these girls went with her brother, and he told the mom that they had a confrontation with this woman. And so she felt embarrassed because of it, you know? I mean, think about this, you know? It's like, rather than being on your kid's side automatically, you know, she forced them to apologize. She apologized on Facebook. She wrote like a long post and everything. And, you know, so apparently, yeah, there was a woman with her daughter doing the, in the theater, and they asked them to be quiet, but they started a whole thing, teenage girls.
Interesting. And so that's it? The mom apologized? And
yeah, that's it. You know, I mean, she's... and I guess she contacted... Somehow she got a hold of that woman that was irritated with
her. Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So the two moms are now Facebook friends.
Well, that's good. At least they resolved it.
There you go. Good, happy ending.
Yes.
Yeah. The busiest city in the world for traffic jams is Istanbul, Turkey. And I'm looking at some pictures, and they're chilling to see the traffic snarling like this for miles. Although we have the same thing here, but it's not as bad. I mean, you have to admit, even our rush hours are a picnic compared to some countries.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah, you know, I mean, and I'm glad I don't have to take freeways. You don't take freeways in the morning either, right?
Yeah, that's how I get here, the 101.
Oh, I thought you said you take Laurel Canyon and stuff.
To the 101.
Oh, okay, yeah. So, but you come like a couple miles on the freeway, right?
Yeah, it's not that far.
Okay, yeah. So you don't get stuck in rush hour traffic or anything. But, man, you try to go downtown at 7:30 in the morning.
Yikes.
You know, that's a 12-minute drive. It would take you an hour.
I mean,
yeah, it's too much.
I wouldn't be able to deal with that.
Yeah.
Except that then I would be able to listen to podcasts, and I never do because I'm never in the car long enough.
Yeah, I know.
So people are like, you haven't listened to Serial yet? How could you? I'm like, I don't ever go in the car. And when I'm not in the car, I'm not listening to Serial.
Yeah, exactly. You know, that's why it's important to have apps to catch people everywhere.
Yeah.
And, So, I mean, I got some a Sirius prescription, Sirius XM subscription, so I can listen to Howard Stern, but I'm never long in the car long enough to listen.
Yeah.
So it's always in bits and pieces. But, you know. Anyway, folks, thank you all for joining us. Jen, have a great day.
You too.
Bright, sunny day outside, and good luck to me with the Tinder candidates. And we'll follow up with this tomorrow. So thanks for everybody, and see you tomorrow.
Yep.
Ooh.
You're listening to Sam in the Morning with Jen, right here on LA Talk Radio.